Hello, everyone. I'm Aunt Sally.
And I'm Princess Tamalpa. You know, Aunt Sally, Thanksgiving is coming, and I would just love to experience an old-fashioned Thanksgiving.
With snow and sleigh bells.
Oh, and a big old-fashioned kitchen with an enormous fireplace.
They haven't made kitchens like that for 100 years. We'd have to use the time machine to have a Thanksgiving like
well,
that.
Well, let's go. Are you listeners ready for an old-fashioned Thanksgiving?
An Old-Fashioned Thanksgiving by Louisa May Alcott. Over 100 years ago lived Farmer Bassett, with his wife and 7 sturdy sons and daughters growing up about him. They were poor in money, but rich in land and love, for the wide acres of wood, corn, and pasture land fed, warmed, and clothed the family, while mutual patience, affection, and courage made the old farmhouse a very happy home. November had come, the crops were in, and barn, buttery, and bin were overflowing with the harvest. Buttery is another name for pantry. The big kitchen was a jolly place, with apples, onions, and corn hanging on the walls, crookneck squashes, juicy hams, and dried venison hanging above the ceiling beams, and a cheerful fire making the kettles on the crane whistle with steam. A great feast was coming up. The baby lay in the old blue cradle that had rocked 7 other babies. 2 small boys sat on a wooden bench, shelling corn for popping and eating nuts from a bowl. 3 young girls stood at the long kitchen table, which in those days was called a dresser. They were busily chopping meat, pounding spice, and slicing apples. Farmer Bassett and F, the oldest boy, were chorin' around outside, for Thanksgiving was at hand, and all must be in order for that time-honored day. Back and forth from table to fireplace bustled buxom Mrs. Bassett, flushed red with excitement in the warm kitchen, and floury from the pies and bread she was baking.
I do like to begin early and have things to my mind. Thanksgiving dinners can't be rushed, and it does take a sight of victuals to fill all these hungry stomachs. Oh, my, this cider applesauce does smell fine. And I must say, that's a goodly array of pies setting on the buttery shelves.
Only one more day, Saul, and then it will be time to eat. Look at this nut, Seth. Ain't it a beauty? Mmm. I'd like to have Thanksgiving every day.
Sakes alive, boys. I don't. It's a marcy it don't come but once a year. I should be worn to a thread paper with all this extra work atop of my winter weaving and spinning. Looky here. One of you girls help me with this dough.
I will, Ma.
Well, thank you, Rhody. I think it's real fun to have Thanksgiving at home. I'm sorry Grandma's sick, though, so we can't go there as usual. But I like to mess around here, don't you, Prue?
I sure do, Tilly. It'll be so nice to eat dinner together, warm and comfortable at home.
Well, I think it will be kind of lonesome with only our own folks. I like to see all the cousins and aunts and have games and singing.
Now, Rhody, pay attention to what you're doing. Tilly, finish up grinding those spices, and Prue, I need that chopped meat just as soon as you're done.
Yes, Ma.
We must fly around and get our chores done so we can clear away for lunch just as soon as I clap my bread into the oven.
Here's somebody coming up the hill lively.
Whoopee! Guess it's Scat Hopkins. Pa told him to bring a dozen oranges if they weren't too costly.
Oh, that's not Gad Hopkins. Gad Hopkins is bigger than that.
It's Peter Shepherd. He's jumping off his horse and running over to Pa by the woodpile.
Must be bad. Pa dropped his axe in the snow.
It must be Mother. Mother's worse. I know she is. Take care of the bread, girls. I'm going out to hear the news myself.
Afternoon, ma'am. I was just telling Mr. Bassett here that old Mr. Chadwick stopped me as I was passing and told me to tell you your mother is failing fast and you better come today.
I knew it. Oh, dear, oh, dear, what'll we do?
Is that all?
That's all I know. Looks like snow, don't it?
Yes.
Well, I better be jogging, or I won't get home tonight.
Thanks for coming by. Hope it didn't take you too much out of your way.
It's all right. Hope everything turns out in the end.
We must be right off, Silas. Hitch up, and I'll be ready in less than no time.
Mrs. Bassett wasted not a minute in tears and lamentations. Pulling off her apron, she hurried into the house. Her head was in a sad jumble of bread, worry, turkey, sorrow, haste, and cider applesauce. A few words told the story, and the children left their work to help her get ready, mingling their grief for Grandma with regret for the lost dinner.
I'm dreadful sorry, dears, but it can't be helped. I couldn't cook nor eat no way now anyhow, and if that blessed woman gets better sudden as she has before, we'll have cause for Thanksgiving, and I'll give you a dinner you won't forget in a hurry.
Not a child complained after that, but ran about helpfully, bringing moccasins, heating the footstone, and getting ready for a long drive, because Grandma lived 20 miles away, and there were no railroads in those parts to whisk people back and forth like magic. By the time the old yellow sleigh was at the door, Mrs. Bassett was waiting, wearing her camlet cloak and holding the baby, who was done up like a small cocoon of blankets.
Now, Eph, you must look after the cattle like a man. Keep up the fires, for there's a storm brewing, and neither the children nor dumb critters must suffer. Brrr. I will, Pa. Whoa! Hold on there, horse!
Tilly, put extra comfortables on the beds tonight. The wind is so searching up chamber. Have the baked beans and Injun pudding for dinner, and whatever you do, don't let the boys get at the mince pies or you'll have them down sick. Now, I'll be back the minute I can leave Mother. Paul come tomorrow anyway, so keep snug and be good. I depend on you now, my daughter. Use your judgment. And don't let nothing happen while Mother's away. Goodbye, dears!
Bye-bye!
Eph, the 16-year-old boy, immediately put on his most fatherly manner as he hurried the other 5 children indoors. Tilly, who had just turned 14, tied on her mother's bunch of keys, rolled up the sleeves of her homespun gown, and began to order about the younger girls. The few flakes of snow soon grew into a regular snowstorm, but the children were busy, gay, and warm indoors, and never minded the rising wind nor the whirling, wide storm outside. The next morning was Thanksgiving. It was still snowing. Up the little Bassetts jumped, scrambled into their clothes, broke the ice in their pitchers, and washed up. Then down the stairs they went, with cheeks glowing like winter apples. Eph was off to the barn to milk the cows, and Tilly soon had a great kettle of mush ready, which, with milk warm from the cows, made a wholesome breakfast for 6 hearty children.
Now about dinner. Ma said to have what we liked, but she didn't expect us to have a real Thanksgiving dinner because she won't be here to cook it, and we don't know how.
I can roast a turkey and make a pudding as well as anybody, I guess. The pies are all ready, and if we can't boil vegetables and so on, we don't deserve any dinner.
Yes. Let's have a dinner anyway. Ma won't care, and the goobies will spoil if they ain't eaten right up.
Tilly, did you ever roast a turkey? Should you dare try?
You'll see what I can do. Ma said I was to use my judgment about things, and I'm going to. All you 3 little ones have to do is keep out of the way and let Prue and me work. Eph, I wish you'd put a fire in the best room so Seth, Saul, and Rhody can play in there. We'll want the settin' room for the table, and I won't have 'em pickin' round when we get things fixed.
I don't know about that. Ma didn't tell us to.
Don't we always do it Sundays and Thanksgiving? Wouldn't Ma wish the children kept safe and warm anyhow? Can I get up a nice dinner with 3 rascals underfoot? Come now, if you want roast turkey and onions, plum pudding and mince pie, you'll have to do as I tell you and be lively about it.
Oh, all right.
Yay!
But I devoutly hope nothing happens to make us sorry we did this.
I get the rocking chair first.
No, you don't. You had it last. And F, it's my turn. He had it last.
Look, Sol, I'm busy building this fire. Why don't you play under the sofa with Rhodey?
Come on, Sol. You can be Pa, and I'll be Ma. We can pretend it's Thanksgiving, and all the aunts and cousins are coming, and...
Oh, all right. But just until F fixes the fire, then it's my turn, Seth.
We giddy up.
Now, Prue, we'll have dinner at 5. Pa ought to be here by that time if he's coming tonight. He'll be so surprised to find it's all ready. I'm sure he won't have had very nice victuals if Grandma's so sick. I'll give the children lunch at noon. Donuts and cheese with apple pie and cider will please them. Now there's beans for F. He likes cold pork, so we won't stop to warm it up, for there's lots to do, and I don't mind saying to you, Prue, I'm dreadful dubbersome about the turkey.
It's all ready but the stuffing, and roasting is as easy as can be. I can baste first rate. Ma always likes to have me. I'm so patient and steady, she says.
I know, but it's the stuffing that troubles me. I don't know how much I want, nor what sort of herbs to put in. And he's so awful big, I'm kind of afraid of him.
Well, I ain't. I fed him all summer, and he never even gobbled at me. I feel real mean to be thinking of gobbling him, poor old chap.
Well, I'll get the pudding off my mind first. It ought to be cooking all day. Put the big kettle on and see that the spit is clean for the turkey whilst I get ready.
Then Tilly began making the plum pudding.
I've seen Ma do this so many times, I'm sure I can do it. Now let's see, suet, fruit, flour, spice, which spice? Oh well, a little cinnamon, a little nutmeg, pinch of cloves, sprinkle of ginger.
All was going well until she forgot both sugar and salt. Then she tied the pudding in the cloth so tightly that it had no room to swell, and so would come out as heavy as lead and as hard as a cannonball. Happily unaware of these mistakes, Tilly popped it into the pot and proudly watched it boiling about before she put the cover on and left it to its fate. Now came the stuffing.
I can't remember what flavoring Ma puts in. Sage and onions and applesauce go with goose, but I can't feel sure of anything but pepper and salt for a turkey.
Ma puts in some kind of mint, I know, but I forget whether it's spearmint, peppermint, or pennyroyal.
Seems to me it's sweet marjoram or summer savory. I guess we'll put both in, then we're sure to be right. The best is up in the attic. You run up, Prue, and get some while I mash the bread.
Away trotted Prue to the warm, dark attic where clusters of herbs hung drying side by side along the wall. Prue's little nose was so full of the smell of the onions she had been peeling that instead of sweet marjoram and summer savory, she picked catnip, a minty herb, and wormwood, a frightfully bitter one. Back in the kitchen and eager to help, she ground up the herbs and scattered handfuls into the bowl.
Whew, it doesn't smell just right, Prue, but I suppose it will when it's cooked. This bird's gaping stomach seems aching for food, don't it? Hand me that blue yarn, Prue, and I'll sew 'em shut. There.
Shall we roast the little pig, too? I think he'd look nice with a necklace of sausages, just like Ma fixed last Christmas.
I couldn't do it, Prue. I loved that little pig, and I cried when he was killed. I'd feel as if I was roasting the baby. Oh. Let's go on to the vegetables. The cellar's full, so take the basket and bring up some of every sort. I'll put on a batch of cranberry sauce.
With F's help, by noon all the vegetables were scraped and washed and ready for cooking. The cranberry sauce, a good deal scorched, was cooling. Lunch was lively. Donuts and cheese vanished in such quantities that Tilly feared no one would have an appetite for her sumptuous dinner.
Don't worry, Tilly. I'll be starving.
I'll be as hungry as a bear. I wish you were cooking pig, too.
All right, you children. Get ready to go out and coast while Prue and I set the table and get out the best china.
I only have one boot.
Hey, that's my hat.
Here are your mittens, Rhodey.
Thanks, Saul.
I get the red sled.
I get the blue sled.
Let's go.
Come on.
Last one of the old mill's rotten
that and shut the door.
We will. I mean, we won't. I mean...
Come on, Rolly.
Bye.
The short afternoon passed quickly with Tilly and Prue preparing for the feast and Eph keeping them company with his fiddle. It was growing dark when a loud howling startled both girls and sent them flying to the window.
What is it, Tilly?
It's the children coming home like the devil was after them.
Get the gun, Eph, a bear, Eph, a bear!
A bear is coming!
A bear is after me!
Down in the hollow we was coasting, we heard a growl!
I see him first, looking over the wall!
Awful big and shaggy, great paws kept clawing after us. I was so scared my legs would hardly go.
We ran away as fast as we could, and he came growling after us. He's awful hungry, and if he gets in, he'll eat every one of us if he gets in!
Don't let him eat me!
No danger of that, you little goose. I'll shoot him as soon as he comes. Get out of the way, boy!
Eph had put down his fiddle and gotten down his gun at the first mention of a bear. Now he stood by the open kitchen window taking aim. Seth and Saul climbed on the table for a better view, and Rhoda ran upstairs to hide under her mother's bed.
There he is, Eph! Fire away, and don't miss!
Prue retired to the fireplace to guard her turkey, which she had been basting all afternoon and was not about to desert now. Tilly stood boldly at the open window, ready to lend a hand if the enemy proved too much for Eph. All had seen bears, but they had never seen one come so near before. Even brave Eph felt that the brown beast slowly trotting up the yard was a big one. Eph was anxious to kill his first bear in style, but he knew he had only one shot before he'd have to reload. He also knew there was nothing meaner than an injured bear.
Get the axe, Tilly. If I should miss, stand ready to keep him off while I load again.
I got it, Eph. Look, he's standing up. Fire, Eph!
He's down again. I'll wait till he rears again for a better shot.
Wait, Eph! Don't shoot! Will you look at that? Why, that varmint!
Tilly, where are you going?
I have to say howdy to an old bear.
Tilly!
Oh, Tilly!
Gad Hopkins, how could you scare us so?
It's all right, children. It's just Gad trying to fool us. Shucks, I thought I was going to get me a bear.
Now, Gad Hopkins was a real trickster. 2 years older than Eph, he stood a full 6 feet tall. The bearskin blanket he wore made him look ferocious as he hugged Tilly with one shaggy arm. With his free hand, he reached down into some deep pocket and pulled out one orange after another, which he threw at Eph, still standing at the kitchen window.
Hey, cut that out! Watch it!
Yay!
Well, you see, I got upset over yonder. The old horse went home while I was floundering in a drift. So I tied on the blankets to tote them easy and come along till I see the children playing in the holler. I just meant to give them a little scare, but they run like partridges. And I kept up the joke to see how Eph would like this sort of company. You'd have had a warm welcome if we hadn't found you out. I'd have put a bullet through you in a jiffy, old chap. But now that you've disrupted our happy home and gotten me to come out in the cold, why don't you come in and have some turkey?
Yes, do. Prue and I have done it all ourselves, and Pa will be along soon, I reckon.
My, you struggle so, Tilly. Can't you take a little bear hugging? Hey, thanks, Ev. I can't stay no way. My folks will think I'm dead if I don't get along home, seeing as how the horse and sleigh have gone ahead empty. I've done my errand and had my joke. Now I want my pay.
Gad took a hearty kiss from the rosy cheeks of his little sweetheart, as he called Tilly. His own cheeks tingled with the smart slap she gave him as she ran away.
I hate bears. I'll bring my axe next time.
I ain't afeard. Your sharp eyes found me out. Look, if you run into a bear's arms, you've got to expect a hug. I should have known you in a minute, Gad, if I hadn't been asleep when the girl squalled. You did it well, though I'd advise you not to try it again in a hurry, or you'll get shot. Once a year's enough, Ev. Here are your oranges. Bye now.
My sakes alive, Prue. The turkey's burnt on one side, and the kettle's boiled over, so the pies are put to warm are all ashes.
Well, I can't help it. I couldn't think of victuals when I expected to be eaten alive myself, could I?
Prue was hiding in the cradle.
I just didn't want to be hit by a flying orange, that's all.
Look, there's Pa. He's got folks with him.
Lots of them. I see two big sleighs full of people.
Looks like a cemetery. Guess Grandma's dead and came up there.
Well, let's take a look. Well, if that's a funeral, the mourners are uncommon jolly.
I see Aunt Cynthia and Cousin Hetty, and there's Moe's Mamma.
You're right, Rhody. I do declare, Pa's bringing them all home to have some fun here. Look here, Tilly.
Oh, my patience. Ain't I glad I got dinner, and don't I hope it'll turn out good.
Hooray! Hooray for Pa!
The cheer was answered heartily as in came father, mother, baby, aunts and uncles and cousins all in great spirits, and all much surprised to find such a festive welcome awaiting them.
Think Grandma did it all?
Bless your hearts, no. It was all a mistake of old Mr. Chadwick. He's as deaf as an adder, and when Mrs. Brooks told him Mother was mending fast and she wanted me to come down today, certain sure he got the message all wrong and give it to the first person passing in such a way as to scare me most to death and send us down in a hurry. Mother was sitting up as chirpy as you please and dreadful sorry you didn't all come.
And so to keep the house quiet for her and give her a taste of the fun, your Pa fetched us all up to spend the evening, and we're going to have a jolly time of it, to judge by the looks of things.
Aunt Cynthia's right. What in the world put it into your head we was coming and set you to getting up such a supper?
It was Gally, she let us play in the
field. Like you, Pa, and you, Pa, and Pa, and he and Dad Hopkins,
and he's like a bear.
All right. Let's eat.
Tilly and Prue were in their glory as they set forth their dinner. They were sure everything was perfect. But when the eating began, their pride got a fall. The first person who tasted the stuff and nearly choked over the bitter morsel.
Ugh, Tilly Bassett, whatever made you put wormwood and catnip in your stuffing?
It wasn't Tilly, Ma. It was me.
Well, Prue, it doesn't do a mite of harm. For the turkey's as tasty as can be.
I never did see onions cook better. All the vegetables is well done, and the dinner is a credit to you, my dears.
The pudding was an utter failure, in spite of the blazing brandy in which it lay. It was as hard and heavy as one of the stone balls on Squire Duncan's great gate. It was speedily whisked away, and all fell upon the pies, which were perfect. But Tilly and Prue were much depressed, and didn't recover their spirits till the dinner was over, and the evening fun well under way. Blind Man's Bluff, Hunt the Slipper, Come Philander, and other lively games soon set everyone a-bubbling over with jollity. When F struck up his fiddle, old and young fell into their places for a dance. All down the long kitchen they stood, Mr. and Mrs. Bassett at the top, and Rhody and Seth at the bottom. Then away they went, heeling and toeing, swinging and sliding. Finally, Aunt Cynthia fell into a chair.
Whoa, my lands! That's enough for a woman of my heft!
Time for cider, Aunt Cynthia. Apples and cider all around!
Apples and cider and singing finished the evening. After a grand kiss and farewell, the guests drove away just as the moon was coming out to cheer their long drive.
Bye!
Well, children, We have special cause to be thankful. The sorrow we expected was changed into joy. Tilly, set out the light stand. Eph, fetch the Bible. We'll read a chapter before we go to bed. Give thanks where thanks is due.
Then all sat quietly in the firelight, smiling as they listened with happy hearts to the sweet old words that fit all times and seasons so beautifully.
Like that old-fashioned Thanksgiving, Aunt Sally, but you know I'm going to enjoy the modern one just as much.
Me too.
To me, that story said an old-fashioned Thanksgiving is being with those you love.
Well, I hope you listeners will all have an old-fashioned Thanksgiving.
We'll be looking for you next week, same time, same station.
Goodbye.
Bye.